Greetings and a warm welcome to another edition of The Debate on Press City. I'm your host, Behrouz Sanjafi. It seems that the Brexit talks have hit a deadlock as UK Labour leader criticizes the British Brexit minister, who he believes returned from the Sunday negotiations with the EU with his tail between his legs. British Prime Minister Theresa May told the Parliament that progress was made at the talks, but Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn saying that a blindfold Brexit won't be good for nothing. German Chancellor Angela Merkel and the EU President Donald Tusk have warned that a Brexit deal is looking more difficult than ever to clinch. Now, in this edition of Debate, we will discuss about the prospects for a Brexit or a no deal. Let's now put this issue to debate. Joining me now in the discussion are journalist and commentator James Twitty from London and senior analyst with Foreign Policy and Focus Ian Williams out of New York. Thank you both gentlemen for joining us in this edition of The Debate. Let me begin with James Twitty in London. Time is running out, as you know, to reach a deal before Britain leaves the EU in late March 2019. How do you predict things will go? How many and how big are the barriers?
Well, I think certainly some mountains have been made out of molehills here. And I think it's in the EU's interest to negotiate some kind of deal that would preserve free movement of goods, as the Chequers plan lays out. But I don't know if it's really in Britain's interest so much, and maybe it's more in the EU's interest. So there's a question of why they are throwing up these barriers. Why are they continuing to insist that there must be a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland? When we have a common travel area between Britain and the Republic of Ireland, the UK and the Republic of Ireland, dating back to the time of independence in the 1920s. That's very hard to see. If you think about some of the practicalities of it, it doesn't really make much sense. Why would there be a problem? So I think that what's going on here is the contradiction here in Brussels is that they want to make Brexit as painful as possible for Britain to dissuade other countries who might be thinking of leaving the EU. The Netherlands, Italy, those are both core nations of the EU going back to its roots in the 1950s, and some of the newer countries like Hungary and Poland.
Okay, let's go to New York and ask Ian Williams, what do you think, sir, will happen, and what do you predict, and what are the barriers?
I think there are far more barriers than three. I mean, what hasn't been mentioned is there are several million British citizens in the European Union whose future is far from assured. There's a lot of interchange between the continent of Europe and the British Isles in terms of population. You go to Berlin and there's whole areas where they speak nothing but English. The other part is the Irish border is separate. The customs barrier is separate from the free travel zone. All the time that there was a free travel zone between Britain and Ireland, they still had customs barriers, mostly because of the Irish government's insistence out of nationalism. That's been going on indeed since independence. But it's a bad precedent. I mean, the Irish economy would suffer if it were split. The only reason that the Irish economy managed to split out of the British economy when they joined the euro was the fact that it was backed up by massive European Union subsidies. The big issue here is treating this as a binary process, a black and white, when it's actually 50 shades of grey. I mean, We've got people ranked on ideological and nationalistic grounds. We're anti-Europe, we're pro-Europe. How about we're purely pro-Europe if they actually do what they set out to do, and they had an equal playing field for social security and wages, which the British government's actually pulled out of. You know, how about that Britain stayed in Europe and actually fought with those other countries to break the stranglehold of the German bankers. So we're reducing this to a metaphysical yes or no to Europe, and it isn't. And that's one of the drawbacks of a referendum, because you deal with one big abstract yes, no, binary, black, white, when in fact life and reality is far more complicated than that, as Theresa May and her chums in the Tory central office are now discovering.
Okay, let's go to London. James Twitty, if there is a deal, if there is a Brexit deal, do you think it will be a hard one or a soft one?
I think, like I said, the EU doesn't want to raise tariff barriers.
Mm-hmm.
It will, on the issue of the fate of European Union citizens living and working in Britain, I don't think the Tory government or a Labour government, if there's a Labour, you know, in the future, has any interest or any intention to deport those people or deny them the right to work here, because it's not in the interest of big business. Big business wants those people here working. There's been a policy, long-standing policy, I think, in this country of sourcing skilled labor talent from other countries in the EU, and unskilled labor too.
Okay.
So they will grant those people leave to remain. They will give them work permits to remain here. That's not a problem. I don't see that as a problem. Will it be a hard Brexit?
It is for the voters, though.
How hard do you mean? I mean, are we talking? Even if there's a no-deal Brexit, that's what I favour. I think we should have, reserve the right to put tariffs on certain goods on a case-by-case basis with the EU. But there wouldn't be a lot of interest on either side necessarily in applying those tariffs. They wouldn't have to go. They wouldn't have to be applied. There wouldn't have to be a trade war. It would be up to the two parties, the UK and the EU. So even a no deal Brexit would not be disastrous by any means.
We'll come to that no deal at a later point. So, okay. All right. Now let's go to New York. Ian Williams. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has said that a Brexit deal is looking more difficult to clinch. And EU President Donald Tusk has also warned that a no-deal scenario in Brexit negotiations is more likely than ever before. Why are they so pessimistic? And is this a kind of pressure tactic to wrench more concessions from London?
To some extent it is, but they can't get any more concessions out of London apart from complete surrender. Remember, a lot of the voters who voted for Brexit did so on the xenophobic grounds that European workers were coming over taking our jobs. Imagine Theresa May going to those voters and saying, well, we've got this wonderful Brexit deal, which means all those Europeans are going to stay here and keep taking your jobs. It's a wash electorally. We're not talking economic realities with this vote. We're talking emotions, and the emotions, including xenophobia, are there. The idea that Britain is in a position to withstand the shock, I think, is we've already seen there's a flight of capital. There are institutions that Britain has been hosting from the European Union are draining out. Britain's cut out of joint European science projects. I think that Brexit is shaping up to be disastrous, even with the best deal. I mean, the best deal that you could possibly get was where Britain basically stays in the European Union but has no say whatsoever in the shaping of its institutions or laws. That's what a customs deal would mean. That's what a Norwegian deal would mean. How do you sell that to the voters? Well, we've left the European Union, but we're going to apply every rule those bankers in Germany put on us and those bureaucrats in Brussels, but we won't have any say or recourse on them. It is not a sellable deal. And so this, if it goes back to the public, I think it's very doubtful that there'll be a Brexit deal, even with a Brexit acceptance and a no deal acceptance, even if there's a flood of xenophobic enthusiasm behind it. It really doesn't wash. I mean, I'd like to think that a socialist Britain could push off into the Atlantic and run an autarkic economy. And, you know, a few years ago, you might have even considered that. Harold Wilson and others did possibly consider it. But things are so integrated now, and we're really talking about taking an omelette and making an egg out of it. And, you know, entropy doesn't work that way in economics or politics or in biology and eggs.
Okay. All right. Now, James Tweedy, Theresa May told the Parliament today that progress has been made in talks and the issue of Ireland cannot, quote, derail chances of a striking a deal. She believes that a good deal is achievable, but the Labour leader thinks otherwise. What's your opinion?
I think Jeremy Corbyn is playing politics, and he's got a problem that in the Labour Party, even among that wing of the Labour Party that supports him, there's still a majority who are opposed to Brexit. And that's a problem for the Labour Party, because in the majority of the constituencies where they have MPs, a majority of people voted for it. So they have a problem there, that they lost votes to UKIP in 2015 over this. So, but he has to do this, just like demanding that there should be an early election, which I don't think is going to happen. And I don't particularly think Jeremy Corbyn really wants, because does he really want to be prime minister for the last few months negotiating a deal with a majority of MPs behind him who are not loyal to him and would rather scrap the scrap Brexit, pull out of remain in the EU, renege on the Brexit vote altogether, and probably remove him as leader to do that? I don't think so. So I don't think anyone's got any sympathy for Theresa May. I don't think anybody really thinks Chequers plan is that great. I don't think most of the Tory party do. The Labour Party has other ideas about what should happen. And probably the majority of recent polls show that the majority of voters don't back it. In fact, more people would back a no deal exit, basically a hard Brexit. So I don't think she's got, I don't think she's got a hope of achieving this thing. She says that progress was made. Well, okay, maybe the EU, when the EU is sort of staring into the abyss of a no deal Brexit, maybe they'll pull back. But like I say, their motives are mixed in this.
All right. Okay, let's go to New York. Ian Williams, shifting to the issue of the Ireland. Northern Ireland is supposed to remain in the single market unless another arrangement could be found to avoid imposing a hard border with the Republic of Ireland. Now, this unionists see as a red line that separates them from the rest of the UK. Let's have your take on that.
Well, it is. There was a solemn promise made by the British government and the agreements over Northern Ireland that there wouldn't be a hard border there. So the British government has the option between breaking its promises that's brought some type of peace to Northern Ireland, which is backed by the small group of very sectarian bigots who actually are keeping Theresa May in power at the moment, and of alienating the rest of the Irish community, north and south, that they have really painted themselves into a corner. It's yet another symbol of what Boris Johnson did. They didn't want to win that referendum. Boris Johnson wanted to unseat, to become the prime minister and the leader of the Conservative Party, and it misfired. He wanted to parade as the great Brexit leader and hope to fail. But, it's shown before that withdrawal at the last minute is a very unreliable way of protection. And he's done this with that's the whole nature of these European Brexit negotiations. They're holding on to the brink and hoping that they can pull out of them. It's not going to happen. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, but we do know whatever it is going to be fairly catastrophic for the British economy, not too good for the European economy, and absolutely terminal for Theresa May. They're the few certainties we have in this. But in the meantime, the corner has been painted. There's a lot more issues than the big three there. They're just discovering them. I mean, we have been involved in an economic union now for, 60, 70 years, since Harold Wilson. And it's not easy to pull out of that. There'll be ramifications coming afterwards. There'll be unforeseen consequences, about trade flows, about things that we forgot about. The tariffs, the money, there's going to be a lot of differences. The British, personally, I've got no particular credence for the City of London as a great engine of the British economy, and I'd rather it did go to Brussels or Frankfurt and do its damage there. But we have to think of something to replace it. It's not just enough to be against things. We have to think of creative alternatives. And unfortunately, there is no sort of serious guiding hand. I do think the Labour Party, under its present leadership, is probably more capable of thinking through clearly and uninfluenced by big business lobbies than most others. But their hands are going to be tied. They need the bankers to some extent. They can't just alienate them completely. They need Europe to help them along. And I must say, they're more likely. I do think that Jeremy Corbyn's speeches about the Brexit vote were the most convincing for many of my friends I spoke to about why they voted against Brexit, because he expressed all of their skepticism. And then, instead of taking this sort of hallelujah position, he said, and actually, bad as it is, it's a lot better than almost all of the alternatives that we can consider. Right. So he suggested a vote for Remain. That's a sensible attitude. That's what we should have, rather than binary shouting.
Okay, well, let's go to London now. James Tweedy, turning to Scotland now. The Scots are talking about an independence referendum. They also want the best possible access to the EU and a smooth international trade. Would that be feasible given the circumstances?
The Scots had an independence referendum, and they lost it by a margin of 10% not so long ago. I don't know what kind of independence they're talking about to be not part of the United Kingdom, but still be part of the European Union, and to be a small country in the European Union with a small economy, which may end up in the same kind of situation as Ireland did, or Portugal, or Spain, or Greece, being forced to make all sorts of austerity cuts. I don't think that's a good idea, and I don't think the majority of Scottish people really want that. I don't think they're going to vote for independence on that basis. There's a funny idea over here, turning back to Ireland for a second, there's a funny idea over here that that when, say, a large number of unionists in Northern Ireland voted Remain, they had this idea in the back of their head that if the vote went to leave, they would then support reunification with the Republic of Ireland. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
There's still a majority of people in Northern Ireland who don't want to be part of the Republic and want to be part of the UK. And if you give them a choice between Brexit and reunification, they're going to choose Brexit. It's a similar thing with Scotland, I think. Do they really want to be in that position? To be this, a small state in the EU? You've seen what happened. You've seen what happened to Greece. Greece was destroyed. Its people have become migrant laborers in Europe. It's an awful situation.
Okay. We don't have much time. Let me ask the last question, beginning with Ian Williams. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair has spoken of another referendum on Brexit, and that's what a Labour leader also touched upon at the Labour conference a while ago. What is the prospect of a second vote on Brexit, briefly, please?
Well, I think if Tony Blair speaks in favour of it, then he's lessening the chances of it, is the general principle. He's such an unpopular character. But on the other hand, there is, I honestly think, I hope, that Jeremy Corbyn has a strategy, and the strategy is to wait until the end of negotiations and then turn round and say, look, we had a referendum, we had a result, but this was not the result you wanted or we wanted. It's come back to Parliament. We're going to reject it. So we're going to refer it back to you, the people, to reconsider.
Okay.
These are the best terms the government could get. Go and vote on it. And I think that the results would probably come out as Remain. And this is not a negation of democracy. Democracy isn't having one vote and then being stuck with it forever. That was Hitler's plebiscite. In real democracies, issues are worked in real time.
All right, good. James Tweedy, your comments also in 30 seconds, please.
I don't think there's going to be a second referendum. I don't think anyone serious is talking about that. And I think if there is any kind of referendum, it will be between whatever deal is finally made between the May government and the EU, and no deal. And there's a very good chance, perhaps, that people will vote no deal. So that's your, that's your lot.
Okay. And we've come to the end of this edition of The Debate on Press TV. I should thank journalist and commentator James Tweedy, who joined us from London, and also senior analyst with Foreign Policy in Focus, Ian Williams, who joined us out of New York. Thank you both, gentlemen. And also, thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.